Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another program about Fatima. That will be the episode 43. Speaking still about the vision of hell, we are closing to that vision that the little shepherds have had. We will be starting speaking about it today. Before, let us recapitulate what we have been saying about hell. We have answered three questions. Does hell exist? Then we have said yes. What is hell? That is the second question. And we said that is eternal death and not eternal suffering or eternal torture. And the last question is who is going to hell? And we have answered that question too. Not going to repeat it. It's very complicated. It's not an easy thing because we only God knows for sure. But for what we can reason, we have said those who believe in nothing, that there is nothing in the beginning, there is nothing in the end, and they do nothing with their lives, which is very difficult to find such a person, we said. But there is a real possibility of indeed getting condemned, and that will be not God in condemned us, but we condemning ourselves. Now, before we go into this vision that the little shepherds have had, I would like to put things in this perspective. Are we creatures of God or are we sons and daughters of God? Well, you will say we are sons and daughters of God, but that's not truth. That's not our default identity. Our default identity is not to be sons and daughters of God, because God has only one son, generated, not created, of the same nature as the Father. That's what the Creed says about the identity of Jesus. Now, if the Creed had to say about our identity, it would say created, not generated, at the image and likeness of God. So you see the difference between us and Jesus. Jesus is generated, not created, of the same substance as God. Jesus is God. He is generated. Jesus is the only Son of God. Jesus is the only Son of God. God doesn't have any other Son. So, in theory, and to start off, we are not sons and daughters of God. We are creatures of God. So, but are we like any other creature of God? No, we we are not like the beasts, the animals, or any living being, and we are not like the angels either. The angels are not created that image and likeness of God. We are created that image and likeness of God. So we are different from the angels and from any other creature. Since we are created that image and likeness of God, we have the possibility of becoming sons and daughters of God. But we are not ipso facto sons and daughters of God, and maybe not all will become sons and daughters of God. Only some will become sons and daughters of God. So that's the difference between us and Jesus. So you know about the end of the world. The world will end as it had a beginning. Anything that has a beginning has an end, the way we understand it. So the world, the universe, is not eternal, and it's not religion and faith that says it, it's science that says it, because this is not a matter of religion, although we always believed in the end of the world, and science used to mock our belief as being irrational, and now science has discovered that our belief is truth. The theory of Father Georges Lemaître about the Big Bang, the beginning of the universe, is still a valid theory and is still the one that is accepted by most scientists, by the mainstream scientists, that with the Big Bang, the universe start to exist, and the universe is composed of matter, time, and space. These matter, time, and space were created at the Big Bang. The one who originated the Big Bang, so we believe in this theory anyway, and is a Catholic priest, this Georges Lemaître is a Catholic priest from Belgium that came up with the proposal, this proposal that is still widely accepted. So the one that created matter is, of course, immaterial, God. The one that created time is timeless, God. And the one that created the space is also spaceless, is God. So it has... When you create things that resemble your creativity, but they are different from you, because nobody creates itself. Nobody, not even God, creates himself, because God always existed, is out of time, space, and matter. So the universe will end. And although it is still far away, of course, but before the universe ends, our star, the star that gives us light, the star that gives us light, the star that gives us heat and life, will die before. When you look at the sky in the night, you see many stars. And amazingly, those stars, many of those stars that you see, are ghost stars. They are not there anymore. It's only now that the light is reaching us, but those stars don't exist anymore. Their light took millions of years to reach us. And when eventually they reach us, the light of that star, it might be already expanded. So a star, and like our star, the sun, is made of hydrogen, and it burns hydrogen. It's not really burned, it's a nuclear fusion. But the fuel for this nuclear fusion, that is hydrogen, will be will run out one day. We still have millions of years before that. But the age of the sun, comparing to human age, is in his 40s, coming up to his 50s. So it's not a young star. But anyway, he still has millions of years, but long before it finishes his fuel, 2/3 of the sky will be sun, and that there won't be any life here. The Earth will be like Venus, the planet that is closer to the sun. Life will not be possible at that time. So, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because the default of creatures is eternal death. Creatures will die. The universe will end. And everything within the universe will end. God created the universe from nothing. And so it goes back to nothing. Only within this universe there are creatures that are creatures that God created, that is image and likeness, that is us. And those creatures, and only those creatures. I'm sorry, because some of you might call your dogs and cats like your sons and daughters, but they are not your sons and daughters. They are still animals. They are not self-conscious, and they are creatures of God, but they were not created at the image and likeness of God. Only human beings were created at the image and likeness of God. And only those that were created at the image and likeness of God, since they are created at the image and likeness of God, although we have lost the likeness of God with the first sin of Adam and Eve, but we can get back that likeness of God. And in as much as we get back that likeness of God, although still retaining the image even in sin, we become sons and daughters of God. So only human beings can become sons and daughters of God. But not all human beings will eventually become sons and daughters of God. So those that remain creatures at the image and likeness of God, that is, so I'm going to touch again, the subject of those that are condemned. So they are those who don't believe, and those who don't have works of mercy, those that their lives doesn't resemble the one of Jesus. They believe nothing with their... There is nothing in their minds, there is nothing in their hearts, and there is nothing in their hands. That means they lived for themselves. They didn't live, they survived, they kept their life on, but they live for themselves. That is survival, that's not living. Human living is to live for a cause, is to live for others. It's not to live for yourself. So those remain creatures, and as creatures, and like any other creatures, they will go back to nothing from where they were taken, because the universe will end. Human life will end. So who are those that are saved? Those that are saved are the ones that, having associated themselves with Jesus, they became friends of Jesus. And if Jesus said, I don't call you servants anymore, or though you call me Lord, I am your Lord, but I don't call you servants anymore. I relate to you as friends, and more than that, as brother, because I allow you to call my Father your Father. That's the prayer that Jesus taught us. He allowed us, he gave us permission to call his Father our Father. It never happened before. There is no prayer in the Old Testament that addresses God as our Father. Jesus gave us permission. Jesus, the only Son of God, He opened up His sonship to us so that we can become adoptive sons of God. And since to the Pharisees, Jesus say in a reading not long ago, we have read, where I am going, you cannot come, because you live in sin, and sin cannot enter heaven. And the result of sin, the salary of the wages of sin, as St. Paul says, is eternal death. Is death. He doesn't say eternal death, but we will come to that. He says just that. So the result and the consequence of sin is death. And so you are dead already, says Jesus to the Pharisees. And where I am going, you cannot come. But to the disciples, he said, where I am going, you know the way. That means you can come to the disciples and to those that believed in Jesus. Where I am going, you know the way. And Thomas asked him, "What we don't know you are, where you are going. How can we know the way?" Well, I am the way, the truth, and life. So those that have Jesus as their way, their truth, and their life, they are friends of Jesus, they are brothers and sisters of Jesus, and so ipso facto they become sons and daughters of God, adoptive sons and daughters of God. And the adoptive sons and daughters have the same rights as the generated kids. That's the Roman law that is applied everywhere, I believe, that the sons, the generated sons have no more privileges than the adopted sons. When a family that more probably had already sons, but they decide to adopt, those adopted sons have the same rights in inheritance or in any other thing. And indeed, those parents that adopt, they treat the adopted sons the same way, the very same way. It wouldn't be fair if they treated the generated sons better than the adoptive ones. So it is with God our Father. If you die a dead like Jesus, you raise like Jesus. Let us make a pause and come back after.
Thank you.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. So we were saying that those that associated their lives with Jesus, they live like Jesus, they will have a dead like Jesus, and they raise from that dead. So there are two types of dead. There is temporal dead and eternal dead. The temporal dead is a Passover, is a Pasch. That's the Latin and Greek word, Pasch. We say in English Easter. Easter, I don't know what it means, but in all Romance languages we say Pasqua, Pasqua, Pasch, and that means Passover. So we is the Passover of the River Jordan into the Promised Land, is the Passover of the desert, is the Passover of the Red Sea, and is also the Passover of the exterminating angel that killed the firstborns of the Egyptians. So that's the Passover, and that's what the Passover meal, which is our Last Supper, that's what the Jewish celebrate at this festival. So the default that before Jesus, that was eternal. If Jesus came to save us, he saved us from something. And he saved us from what? Saved us from eternal death. Saved us from eternal death. The destiny, the default for human beings was that, because we sinned, because nobody deserved eternal life, because we all sinned. And Jesus came to save us from that eternal death. And so he transformed eternal death in a temporal death, in a passage. That was the final end, but now is a passage. Is a passage for those that have become sons and daughters of God, adoptive sons and daughters of God. And this is clear in the Passover. This is clear for us Christians, that those who live like Jesus, they are risen from dead like Jesus. Many prayers in the funeral ritual refer to this. Those who die like Jesus, they raise to heaven like Jesus, because we have the same inheritance as Jesus, as adoptive sons and daughters of God. And that's why he said, I'm going to prepare you a way, so where I am, you will be there with me. That's why Jesus assumed humanity, the second person of the Holy Trinity assumed humanity, so that we assumed us. So we are saved in the humanity of Jesus, in as far as become human like Jesus, because he's the role model of humanity, is the one with whom we should measure ourselves to become more human. So, and we come again to this: what is hell? As it is eternal death, not eternal suffering or eternal torture. We are going to read today in the reading. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 51, whoever keeps my word will never see death. Whoever keeps my word, mark these words, whoever keeps my word will never see death. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean? What is this death? What is this death? Cannot be the temporal death, because Jesus had a temporal death. Jesus had a temporal death. So we cannot mean that temporal death. It means eternal death. Because he saw that too. he saw that too. He saw the temporal death. They will kill me, but I will raise from this death. I will raise into heaven, into a new creature, into a new state of life. So it cannot be, as we mentioned in other passages, in the Old Testament, this death can only mean eternal death. So whoever keeps my word, you see, St. John also says whether believes, but here he doesn't say just believe. He's keeping my word. He's the one that observes my word. He's the one that listens to my word and puts it in practice. So this one will never see that. We'll never see that. So it cannot be the temporal death, because even Jesus saw temporal death. It has to mean the eternal death. So here you have, and in the Old Testament and New Testament, you have hell as portrayed as eternal death. So it cannot mean the temporal death. That would be a lie. And Jesus doesn't tell lies. It cannot mean temporal death, do we? So whoever keeps my word will never see that, will never die. No, that's not true. We will die. Any living being will die. But for all living beings is eternal death. But for us is eternal life. And the contrary to eternal life is indeed, it cannot be eternal torture. It's eternal death. That's the contrary to eternal life. Even grammatically, the eternal torture doesn't make sense, because the contrary of eternal life can only be eternal death. So here we are. And this being said, it already prepares for the vision of hell, and that vision of hell that the little shepherds had is, of course, a vision that portrays hell as eternal suffering. And so we will have to deal with that. We will have to deal with that and to explain that. But before we go there, just to remind you that this vision of hell that the little shepherds have had belongs to the first part of the secret. You can look at it as a single secret divided in three parts, or as three secrets. But remember that secret is the word that the little shepherds invented. It's their own word, because they didn't know the word prophecy, and of course they didn't know the concept of prophecy. So for them was a secret, is something that you keep to yourself, that you cannot say to others. So the first one is the vision of hell, is the terrible instant vision of hell. The second is the world's devotion of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and also the consecration of Russia. And the third secret is the prediction of the attack on Pope John Paul II. So this is the way the secrets are, and also the way that the Vatican understands them. And that's my understanding of the secrets, and so I'm not going to enter into other theories that we hear here and there, and that the secret was not fulfilled yet, that the prophecy was not yet fulfilled. For me, it has been already fulfilled, and that's the position of the Vatican, and that is indeed also my position, because I find it the most reasonable one, the most reasonable one. The other positions that some people have, even priests in the Catholic Church, that the third secret is still to be accomplished. I don't believe in that. They are conspiracy theories that I don't keep. So Sister Lucy's memories, that's all we possess. The secrets for a long time they kept them in their minds. Of course, the little shepherds could not write them. Francisco and Jacinta, they died young. They didn't learn. I don't know if Jacinta learned to write or to read, because she did go to school with Lucia, because Our Lady told them to go to school, and told the three of them to go to school. But then Francisco has said that, why go to school? I will die soon. So the time of school, whilst Jacinta and Lucia were going to school, he was going to church. And when they come out of school, they pass by the church, and Francisco goes with them. So Francisco would spend the whole time of school in the church, in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. He was in love with the Blessed Sacrament, the one that he called himself the hidden Jesus. That's the way, you know, that a child can, in a child's mind, can perceive Jesus hidden in the Blessed Sacrament. That's the hidden Jesus. That's the way he called him. And he stayed the whole morning there, waiting for his cousin, for his sister and cousin to come back from school and go home, both of them. So Sister Lucy, later on, she writes in her memories, "Moments after we arrive at Cova de Ria next to the old oak, that's the tree where Our Lady appeared. This old oak is considered a sacred tree for the Romans and the Greek, and indeed for the Celtic. I don't believe that Our Lady chose this tree because she considered it sacred. This tree is very... there are lots of these trees, both in Spain and Portugal, in this area, in this latitude, in the province of Spain called Extremadura, and also in Portugal called the same name. And around Fatima, we find lots of olm oaks. This olm oak is close, is very... it resembles another oak that is called the cork oak. And this cork oak is a protected tree in Portugal because we are the first world producers of cork. Cork is a bark, is the bark of this tree, and it takes 9 years to grow. So you can only crop the cork every 9 years. It has to grow back. So when Our Lady appeared the first time and the other times, and she delivered their message, Lucia always asked, "Do you want anything else of me? Do you want anything else of me?" Of course, the treatment is the "you" is everything. She was treating with the respect, with the respect word that they use at the time. That in Portuguese is "você me sei," is not just "você," it's "você me sei." That means "vossa merced." So it's the real noble treatment. "What do you want? Do you think you want anything else of me?" And our Blessed Mother answered, "I want you to come here every 13, on the 13th of the next month. I want you to continue to pray the rosary every day. and in honor of Our Lady of the Rosary, to obtain peace of the world and the end of the world and the end of the war. For she alone can help to bring about this peace, the Queen of Peace. And then Lucia continues, I wanted to ask her to tell us who she is and to perform a miracle that everyone believes that you come to us. And she answered, keep coming here every month. In October, I will tell you who I am and what I want. And I will do a miracle that everyone will see so that they will believe. Here I made some requests, says Lucia, made some requests that I can't remember what they were. They were concrete requests, little things. What I remember is that Our Lady said that it was necessary to pray the rosary to achieve graces during the year. And she continued, Our Lady said, sacrifice yourselves for sinners. And many times, especially whenever you make any sacrifice, say, O Jesus, it is for your love, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is a prayer that the little kids have learned from Mary. We don't use many. I haven't seen this prayer. We use it a lot in Portuguese, but I haven't seen people using it in English. This prayer was taught by our Blessed Mother. And of course, you are not to pray this prayer just like anything. You pray this prayer when you offer a sacrifice. When you have a sacrifice to offer, then you have this prayer goes with that sacrifice. So when this prayer lifts up that sacrifice, you have a sacrifice. So, and the sacrifices might meet you, things that might meet you, or things that you choose to do. But if you are suffering from a toothache, you can offer that suffering. If you recite this prayer, you offer that suffering for the conversion of sinners. It is a sacrifice. You already are having the sacrifice anyway. And that sacrifice will be meaningless spiritually. But you can make it meaningful spiritually. You can offer it. You can always offer sacrifices of your own accord. But those that come your way, you can offer them for the conversion of sinners. That's what Our Lady at Fatima taught us. And she taught us the prayer for offering, for making holy that sacrifice, to making it sacred and to making it valid for the conversion of sins.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about Our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.